Hej, og velkommen til den nye tegneseriepodcast Bag Stregen. Jeg har længe haft et ønske om at lære de danske tegneserieskabere bedre at kende, og det har jeg gjort noget ved. Så kom med ud på tegnestuerne, til festivalerne og hvor vi ellers kan møde de her tegneserieskabere og blive lidt klogere på, hvad det er, der driver dem, hvad det er, de læser, og hvorfor det er, at de elsker tegneserier. Jeg hedder Arni Bæk Gunnarsson, og det her er Bag Stregen.
Nico, welcome to Denmark.
Yes.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah. It's
and
a long time.
You were, of course, workcast at Art Bubble in 2017.
Yeah.
But now it's Aarhus, a whole new venue.
Exactly.
And a whole new book. So I read A Curl of Air when it came out in France.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thought this story needs to be told. And so I threw myself into the work of getting it translated,
mm-hmm.
and now it's out.
Yeah.
But the book is your story.
Yeah.
And it's because you were born with a heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you had an operation when you were a year old.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we can see here.
You that's me.
Lying in the crib. And as far back as you can remember, you've had all these scars.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, why did you feel that you wanted to tell this story?
Well, in fact, it's I didn't know I was supposed to have a second operation, and in 2016 we discovered that we must have a second operation. At that point, it's not the same when you got an operation at the age of one and the age of, I was like 34. And so I think, because I knew that it would be something important in my life and in the life of my family, I started taking some notes, a lot of notes. And at that point, I didn't know I was going to do a book about this. But first, I think it helps me a lot to avoid stress, maybe to focus on something else. So every day I took my notes and decided to just take notes, just because as soon as the time goes by, you see that you are forgetting a lot of details, and I don't want to forget all those details. You know the big lines, but if you don't take notes, you don't see every detail, everything on it.
Yeah.
So at that point, I decided to take a lot of notes, and then after this, it came the idea of making comics about this.
Okay. Now, when you were a kid, you used to talk about the scars.
Yeah.
But you always made up stories, and you had a different story from your parents.
Yeah.
As to why you had the scars.
Yeah. It's just that when you are kids and you are born, I don't know if you red hair, if you have long hair, if you have something maybe not like the other kids. In fact, when you are kids, it's just I was like this. So for me, it was not. I didn't have a shame about this or that kind of thing. It was just okay. I have scars everywhere, and that's okay. And so I make up with a lot of stories. Maybe that was the beginning of me wanting to do comics after all, because I make up a lot of stories about this. Mm. And so, yeah. So it was, of course, not the same stories that my parents would say, in fact, because they knew exactly what I have and what I will have and how it goes. But for me, it was just, fun facts.
Yeah. And did your mom and dad tell you that it was a marble?
Yeah. I remember that my mom, because I wanted to know why I got all those scars. Mm. And she told me once, I remember that she told me once that it was a marble. Mm. And when I talked to her about this again, she said, of course not. And she didn't remember telling me that story.
Okay.
But I don't know what's the reality in all this. In fact, what's important is that it didn't traumatize me at all when I was a kid. Because again, I think I make up stories. And as an adult, when I do the comics, in fact, maybe I think the operation didn't traumatize me again because I did another story in the comics, in fact. So, yeah. So maybe that's my way to avoid, thinking. I think a normal person would say, okay, I would have this and we start to stress and we'd be, oh my God, I may be dying, all that kind of thing. And yeah, for me, it was just another story, in fact. Mm. Another cool story, in fact.
Yeah. And one of the cool stories, or at least now you portray yourself as a kid, as a Smurf, where you wished you were more like the Hulk.
Yeah. That's part of all the story, in fact. I think it's me, it's with the scars, but other kids, it's with other things. In fact, for some kids, if they look at their cats, they can think that it's a dragon or that kind of thing. You see stuff we do when we are kids, just nothing else.
Yeah. Now, you, of course, as we said, you told all these stories, you told the... try to impress girls saying that you had been attacked by sharks and you used the scars and of course with your medical history you avoided getting into the French army.
In fact I had a really cool adolescence. A lot of adolescents, drinking beer, going with girls, hanging out every time, going to concerts, come back late and that kind of thing. And so it was, it was a perfect normal life. And the only difference is that this scar, this big scarf, and it helps me more than was a problem for me, in fact. It helped me because it avoided me to do the army because I didn't want to. I found a job at that time and I was going to do the, I don't know if it's the same in Denmark, but we have what they call the 3 days in France. It's you're going for, it calls 3 days, but it's not 3 days. It's 1 day and a half. And you've got an appointment and they decide if you do the army or not, and if you do, where are you going and that kind of thing. And me, I really, really wanted not to do it because I just found a good job at Disney. And for me, it was what I wanted to do. But at that time, they told me that with the kind of kid I was with my surgery, they will take no risk about this. And so I just, it helps me not doing the arm.
Yeah.
So no, in fact, all those things was just, okay and perfect. And I can do sports. I can do a lot of things. In fact, I do like normal kids, except that at one point in January 15, 2016, it's all starts again. And I wasn't expecting this, but that's the way things are. So when it starts again, I was on the soccer game and it was like didn't really understand what's going on, and I called my doctor and I called my doctor, and that's the page here. I called my doctor, and I called my cardiologist, and you know, when you when you try to reach a cardiologist or a doctor, it's sometimes they say, okay, see you in 3 months, see you in 6 months. And they both say, okay, see you tomorrow. And so you know that there is a kind of problem. And that's the point where it all starts again with a lot of examiner and tests and things like this. What I was not knowing at that time is that I didn't think I would have surgery again at that time. But my doctor and all the medical staff, they already know that it would take place. So, but at that point, I have not yet decided to take notes. It was just the beginning. And that's when I decided to take notes. I decided to take notes because I remember doing that thing, but I didn't remember all the details. And that's why I wanted to take notes, because I didn't want to forget the sensation, the feeling about all this.
Yeah.
That's the feeling. That's the sensation.
Yeah. And this page really, really struck me as well. Because it has like, okay, so you're coming into the scanner, you're feeling, you say here that you really don't like being enclosed in that space.
Yeah, it's funny because on those 2-3 pages about the scanners, my publisher say, come on, you say that this is a complete nightmare. And because I really, 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 really don't like scanners like this. And it's not that I'm claustrophobic. It's just that I don't feel it. I feel very uncomfortable being stuck like this with the noise and all the things. Okay. And he say, but if you say that as hard as you are describing it, the problem is that after this, they will not believe the rest of the book because... If this is nightmare, what's next? So, and I say, yeah, but for me, this is really nightmare. In fact, so let me do what I think. But it's funny because I think for some people, it's they will say, but what he's saying, the scanner is not a nightmare. But some people, I know some people that feel the same about this.
Yeah,
so it's okay.
Yeah, and that's where the general hostilities began.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the rear.
Now, this is what they were scanning for. They were looking for...
Yeah, they were looking to find a way to avoid big surgery. Because all those tests, it was just to see if they have to open again or if they can go by another way, in fact. And... that was very long, all this, because I didn't really catch what they were doing and what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And everything was painful. This was very, very painful. I described it, but when they go inside by this way, it is very, very painful. And so, and just to say, oh, it's not this. We don't want to do this. So, so it was strange because we had a lot of tests and didn't understand.
Well, this is, we just jumped to the operation journal.
Yeah, we are.
Because that was what you were talking about just there. And because you said you didn't understand. And you brought that bit with you into the story, everything that is so complicated, was it difficult for you to like grasp what they wanted to do when you were looking at the journal?
In fact, they tried to explain, but the problem is that when you are talking with doctors, sometimes it's just blah, 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 blah. And that's what I wanted to illustrate it on this double page. It's when they send you the, I don't know what you say, the compte rendu, the the paper that goes after the operation that explains the experience, the operation. This is not just, we did like this. This is not surgery explained to kids.
No.
No, no. This is things like this. It means just a double page of nonsense and just technical terms and stuff like this. And but I thought it was very funny because for me, I can put completely other words on that surgery. And for them, this is what they are calling surgery, in fact.
Yeah.
But then it's okay. That's okay.
And you used throughout the book, you've illustrated your heart as a narrator. And
in fact, it's when I first I took notes and then I decided to do comics. At the beginning, I wanted to do comics just like very nervous, you see, in black and white, maybe without any rough pages, just the feelings, just. And I thought that maybe it might be a little bit too much hard, sad, and because this is also part of the story, the hard part, the sad part, that kind of thing. But also, I think that there are good parts, there are good things. There might be humors because if you're going to an hospital and stay three weeks or 1 month at the hospital, you will see a whole world make of pain, but make of joy, makes of different things, in fact. And that's what finally I wanted to translate into the books. So I think it might help to have some kind of humor touch. And that's why I bring my heart that can talk to for me when it's necessary.
Yeah. That's a great shot. Now, this is after the surgery.
Yeah. And just right after, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that you talk about is how little you remember. So these are the stories that you've heard from your wife, from your parents.
In fact, I told you that it helps me a lot to take notes, but it helps also a lot, my wife to take notes also.
And these are her notes.
Exactly. So she decided to tell the story by her point of view. And I read what she did only 2 years after, I think, or 1 year after me.
Okay.
And she read what I write at the same time, in fact. In fact, we took notes. There was a surgery. We continued to take notes. But we didn't need and want to share, you see? And at one point when I start to do the comics, when I said, okay, now I will organize all this and I want to do the comics. At that time that I read the notes of my wife. And it was cool because it helped me feel some blanks, that kind of blanks, in fact.
Yeah.
So it was, it was a really.
So you got the entire context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it helps her a lot, avoiding to stress also.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the comeback at home.
Yeah, we're jumping a bit again.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what you have to look forward to for a long time, for the rest of your life, coming home to get the different medicines and Scrooge.
Yeah. Now this is, I still work medication, but not so many.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But at one point, the first time, it was a whole universe, you see? And it was strange because I couldn't even... I think that's a little bit exaggerated because I couldn't even walk so much, in fact.
Okay.
So I just go home with a lot of medication and a nurse who will come to clean all this and to take care about all this. And it was a strange period also, this one.
Yeah, I believe it. But the whole story centers around this. This is June 4th, 2016, where you said earlier you started taking your notes.
Yeah, exactly.
So you began writing your notes, and the notes helped you through the entire process.
Yeah. So yeah, 6 months after the beating of the soccer game, I decided that it was the time to. 6 months has passed already, and that's what I was saying, that I do remember having a scanner, I do remember having that kind of test, but I already forget the timing when it was, I already forget what was it for, and that kind of thing. And so I thought, okay, I will have this big surgery, and I don't want to miss anything. So I would have to take notes. And so I start on that one. Yes. And it's funny because the beginning of the notes, it's I'm taking notes to tell this story, but I don't know at all what's going to happen with all this. In fact, I don't know if that notes will be only for me or my family. I don't know if it will be a book, it will be a comics, it will be a movie or whatever. In fact, at the beginning, I wanted to do maybe a book because I thought it might be easier for me to tell a big story like this. And I really don't like drawing hospital, drawing that kind of thing. I didn't feel like making 200 pages in an hospital that I thought it might be boring. So I say, okay, maybe I should just write a book. But at first, when I think about it, I thought that I don't know how to write a book. In fact. So what I know to do is doing comics. So that's why I chose this easy way.
Yeah. And then I've decided to take this last image with us before we jump to the things that you looked forward to. So all the time while you're lying there in hospital as well, that you're always looking forward to getting a normal life back.
Yeah.
And of course, now everybody's been locked down for COVID and so on. So they have some sort of idea what it was like.
It's phenomenal.
But you've been at the hospital, you've been hooked up with of this and you've had these things to look forward to. And one of the things that you perhaps didn't know you would end up doing was this.
Yeah, yes. This is a thing I did in June this year. And it's a street art festival of Grenoble, my town. And they asked me to do a painting in the same hospital as been where I had my surgery. And so I did this big wall. And it was the first time I do a thing like this, and it was a lot of fun and a big privilege. And I'm very proud of this thing,
Yeah, so, there we have it.
I have the same t-shirt. they will not think I have only one t-shirt. and so, yeah, this is, I think this reflects exactly the feeling I had, because here it's me at the left, and it was exactly the thing I felt when I was at the hospital. I mean, you are all alone in your room and looking with big windows at the city, and the city was in winter, and sometimes it's beautiful weather, sometimes it's snow, sometimes it's day, sometimes it's night. But for you, it's the warm, the temperature is always the same, and the light is always the same, and that kind of thing. And it's funny because I did this big installation, and a lot of people send me emails and say that some patients, but also some doctors, say that they really do feel the feeling they are feeling when they are at the hospital. A lot of doctors told me that sometimes at 3 or 4 in the morning, they are all alone, and they are going to the window and just watching at the thing. And I think that that was a good reflection on all this.
Yeah. And this, of course, this was supposed to have been the cover of the book.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the cover. And in fact, it ended, it was supposed, this is the drawing, it was supposed to be the cover of the book. And it ended at the end of the book because we decided that we wanted to see not the point of view, but the point of view of the outside. So, and I think that works better, in fact.
Yeah.
I think it was a good solution.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And, but in the end, and that's one of the things that I really love about the story, because when I was preparing for the translation, I learned how many children are born with Stenophilo in Denmark. And I was surprised. You told me so as well yesterday. You were surprised by how many people.
There are a lot. In fact, there are quite a lot. And it's funny because since the beginning of the signing session in France, now in Denmark, at every signing session, there are, in France, there are two or three people coming and say, me, my son, or my father, or I know someone that, it seems it's a very big community of people who have that kind of surgery. In fact.
Yeah.
So it's fun because, and it depends on the people, how do they react on this? So as I told them, for me, I had a normal life, so it doesn't affect me so much. But for some people, it is very, very hard. And I think it all depends if you had surgery. I had surgery when I was once. So for me, I'm born like this. But a girl called me last time and she had surgery at 16.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I think for a girl at 16, it might be hard. And for a girl also, it's different to have a very big scar here. For a man, it's cool. For a girl, I think it's not the same thing. In fact, so...
Well, now she can be inspired to say it was a shark attack.
Yeah, but for a girl, it doesn't match, so.
Oh, maybe not. As the book progresses, this is also the idea that you're always looking for something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So we have the book in Danish. We have this festival. You have more festivals.
Yeah.
In the coming... Well, these are both before
Arcobo, because that was 2 weeks ago, last week, and now.
So you're being kept very, very busy with A Girl Band, your new book, Commando Papa. But this and the next image here are kind of sum up the end of your story.
Yeah, exactly.
The having something to look forward to.
That was 2 days ago here in Harris. I really love that picture, man. And that's my friends who are making fun of him, but that's okay. And it's funny because I end the books by saying that. We need projection. We need to see if we want to advance. We need to see. Okay, in 2 months, in 2 years, in 10 years, I will do this, and it helps me a lot at that time. And it's funny because that's what I write in the book, but that's what I discover helps the people with the COVID we had.
Yeah,
it's. If to the people you have said, no, in 1 year, you still cannot go on holiday, you still cannot go skiing, I think they would have depressed a lot.
Yeah.
And what helps them is just that maybe in 2 months, this is the end of all this and we can go skiing, we can go to a party, we can go. So I think it's funny because my book is what's about, what is it? This is the conclusion of my book. This is that if you want to advance in life, you have to make projection and to imagine that thing. If you know that the horizon and the future is just dark, it will be so sad that you won't advance in life. So I think for the COVID is the same thing.
Yeah.
And see, I'm here, and as I was telling you yesterday, it's kind of strange for us because in France we still have the mask and that kind of thing. And I think when I get back, it will help me also to to tell the people that maybe in 2 or 3 months we can be just like here without thinking anymore of the COVID and just thinking about the future. In fact.
And on that note,
yeah,
thank you very much for coming. Congratulations both on the Danish book,
thank
of course.
Thank you for published it.
And I hope you had a good trip as well.
Yeah, no problem.
And hopefully we'll get to see Commando Baba in Danish. We never know.
Why not?
But just one comment. Maybe you feel they're making fun of you, but actually I think they're embracing you. You're not alone.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Even someone who is making a hand on my shoulder.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Nico.
Thanks for
coming.
Thank you.
Tusind tak, fordi du lyttede med. Inde på Instagram kan du finde os på @bagstregen, hvor du også kan finde show notes for dagens program og læse mere om dagens gæst. Vi vender snart tilbage med et nyt afsnit, og indtil da, læs nogle tegneserier.